call to order the March 28, 2017 meeting of the Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. Thank you to fellow board members for being here as well. The weather's so beautiful outside. The first item on our agenda is approval of the March 7, 2017 specially called meeting. Those minutes have been circulated. Is there a motion? Certainly.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the March 7, 2017 minutes. We'll vote now.
Jeff, can you give this to Derek?
It's actually got to go to Nick, but.
Yeah.
I think Derek logs them in.
Yeah.
I'll just save me a trip over there this morning.
Yeah, sure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
You know what? I just give it to Nick.
Yeah, I can be responsible.
All right, the minutes have been approved, and we'll move into our regular agenda. The first item on the regular agenda is petitioner requesting use approval for use number 50 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance, restaurant with alcohol sales, and this is at 4700 Highway 80 East.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petitioner for the first item on our agenda is the tenant of a property at 4700 Highway 80 East, units ENF. They're requesting approval of use number 50, which is classified as restaurants which serve alcoholic beverages, malt beer, or wine by the drink, per section 4-5.2 of the zoning ordinance. This particular use within the BN zoning classification requires use approval by the Zoning Board of Appeals. You can see the subject property highlighted here at the intersection of the Islands Expressway off-ramp and U.S. Highway 80 on the tax map. This is an aerial photograph showing the subject property, which is an existing shopping center. This shopping center was constructed beginning in 1979. It was expanded in 1985. Immediately west of the subject property is an existing restaurant with alcohol sales, and immediately east, as I mentioned, is the Islands Expressway westbound off-ramp. The uses within this plaza include convenience stores with beer and wine sales, packaged alcohol store, as well as the other restaurant uses that serve alcohol. The requirements within the board of within the zoning ordinance relative to use approval are listed on the staff report, and we did review these requirements and found that based on the existing condition relative to the development pattern and the lack of adjacency of residential properties, staff is recommending approval of the request to establish use number 50 at this property.
What is the business there?
There are a number of businesses here. There's an existing convenience store and gas station at this location. There is a packaged alcohol shop roughly here, existing restaurants. There's some office space and another.
I mean, I'm generally familiar with what's already there. Mm-hmm. These particular petitioners.
Oh, this is a restaurant. Yes, this is a restaurant. The petitioner's business is a restaurant. So they're seeking use approval to add alcohol sales to their restaurant.
And there are a couple of restaurants there. I was just curious which restaurant.
A&T.
Or new restaurants going in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from staff? Thank you. Anyone here on behalf of the petitioner? Anyone here on behalf of the public? Anyone? Hearing and seeing no more testimony on this matter.
Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second. Properly moved and approved and seconded to approve. Any discussion? We'll vote.
Do you have a letter for me for this property? Because I don't
think so.
Oh, really? I don't remember going out there.
Maybe not. I mean, it's way out there.
Yeah. I mean, I would have called and copied you on it.
Approved. The next item on the agenda is 45 Shiplock Road.
No.
Petitioner is requesting a 17-foot marked-up setback variance from the 35-foot requirement. Mr. Chairman, this item is a request to vary the marsh buffer requirement for property at 45 Shiplock Road. The petitioner is seeking a 17-foot marsh buffer variance from the 35-foot requirement in order to construct a new screen porch at an existing single-family residence. This is a tax map of the marshes, a portion of the marshes, subdivision, the subject property. And this is a sketch of the proposed addition. The existing home, you can see outlines here, and the petitioner is proposing a 180 square foot addition in the form of on the rear, a room to add to the existing residence, screen room, porch. The petitioner is intending on removing portion of an existing deck, placing a slab in this location, and adding the room, as I mentioned before. This is an aerial image of the marshes, and I just show you this to indicate a couple of things. We've looked at properties out here before with different variance requests over time, and this is a development that, under the current standards, could not be developed, at least in the way that it is now, because of marsh buffer requirements. Some of the inner lots potentially could be developed, but the ones that you see that abut almost immediately the marsh line would be undevelopable today as you see them. There are a couple of photos attached to your agendas. This is the subject property, the existing rear deck. You can see the wooden bulkhead, and the petitioner is requesting approval of a marsh buffer setback variance of 17 feet. We did have some conversations with the county engineer's office and the floodplain administrator, who indicated in an email that although the subject property is in a floodplain, the volume created by the project will not require mitigation. However, the close adjacency to the marsh line, in staff's opinion at least, the extreme amount of the variance that is requested is a bit out of line for what this board has considered in the past. Based on these findings, we're recommending denial of the variance. But I should mention that in your discussion, if the board disagrees with staff and moves to approve the variance, that the petitioner needs to be informed as it relates to their state requirements as well, related to variance procedures.
So, Marcus, we've approved variances in this neighborhood, I know, in the past. Have they just been far shorter requests?
There have been a couple over the last few years that have been smaller request. The line here, because of the way these properties are developed, vary substantially from properties from one side of the development to the other. We did look at some of those. This is much more of a variance than in terms of a marsh buffer than we've seen in the past. So essentially what they're planning to do, what we'd like to do, is remove a portion of this deck for a glass foundation and construct an addition in that location.
Any other questions or comments with staff this time?
Come with you, Clint. Now, I remember a couple of other properties in this area being discussed before, but I just think that the request was for perhaps half this.
Thank you. Is anyone here for the petitioner? Have you signed in, sir?
Yes, I have.
All right. And please state your name.
My name is Bill Smiley. Right.
Mr. Smiley, if you'll raise your right hand, do you swear that the testimony you'll present this morning is the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
My wife and I live in 45 Chippewa Trove, and I'm originally from Savannah, moved away for different business reasons, and have come back in November of 2014. We bought that house. And we love living there. And we noticed that there were, and spent actually about a year and a half remodeling the inside of the house and getting ready to move in. We didn't actually get to move in until not that long ago, but we had it for a while. We noticed in the marshes there are many, many houses with screen porches and sunrooms on the back that had done exactly what we're asking to do, many of which are much larger than what we're asking to do. We're simply going to take the open space right there where the deck is and use the footprint of the deck from that wall down towards there. And actually, it's not going to be out as far as the deck is to simply put a slab there and a screen porch. I think we're going to intrude any more on the marsh line than it already is, built as it is. We're not going to go over the footprint, past the footprint of the deck. It's simply a quality of life reason we want to do this, but there are many on the marsh side. My immediate neighbor has one right next door to me, and it's out further than what this one's being asked to be put. And we're just here to, I've never been to one of these meetings, so I didn't know what we were going to do here. You know, we're just asking to be able to use that footprint and put a screen porch so we can enjoy the outside more without always fighting the gnats and mosquitoes. But that's basically what we want to do, and we don't feel like we're encroaching on the marsh any more than what is originally here.
As I'm looking at this photo, and I'm looking at your sketch as well at the same time, just trying to get a better idea. Mm-hmm. So the wood decking.
Can I walk over there?
Sure.
Well, the screen porch is going to come start here and go that way. It's going to go over this part. The screen porch will start right here and go towards that wall. It's not going to go completely to the wall. And then it's going to come out about 1 foot less than what the deck comes to. So the screen porch is going to be right here. But there's much more deck out there on both sides. This deck goes all the way around the house to the side there. So we're only wanting to go from here to less than the deck. We're not trying to go any closer to the marsh. I might say my contractor is here. He has already built some screen porches in the marshes, and he can tell you probably a little bit more about exactly the structure contract that he needs to do. But We hope you'll give us a chance to do this, and I'll let him speak.
Have you signed in?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you'll state your name.
Greg Hall.
And if you'll raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you're going to present this morning is the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. If I may, I have a few documents that I could pass out that everyone could look at, and I think I might help. I believe the first one you have is the plot plan there. And as you can see, right in this area here is the existing house. So we're actually only talking about 2 feet further than the current structure that's there. So I know, you know, as they were saying, this entire development couldn't be built at this time, but we're only going another 2 feet past the existing house. So the 17-foot encroachment is something that's already encroached upon with the existing structure. This is just a general plan of what is being built. It's 18 by 10 screen room. Here is a picture of one that is built across the street of exactly this size that we're proposing here. Just have some other, oh, there we go, thank you. Just have some other views here. We're, you know, attaching right into the house, making it level with the soffit. Left side perspective there, about the same. And this is the back area of the house. We're looking to go pretty much in front of these glass doors that are here. And if you take a look, this is all the same building. They're condos. Neighbors are two residents per building. This unit right here is actually approaching out further into the marsh than we're asking for. And I mean, it's basically the exact same structure. There's a little closer view. You can see we're not going to be going out as far as that one. I call it the neighbors, but technically it's the same house. And you can see on theirs, they are much closer to the marsh with number 45. The property line actually extends out more, and there's a bulkhead. So we would have a much bigger clearance than the connected property. And that's what I have for you. Any questions on that?
Any questions?
So the roof and the flooring are a concern for me. Are they both impervious materials?
Yeah, the roof will be all aluminum roof with it's a structural insulated panel. The room will meet well above the wind load speeds for the area, and it'll be standard asphalt shingles on the roof that match the existing roof. And the base is going to be a concrete slab.
I'd like to ask if Mr. Kirkland has something to say about this.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I think I'm finished unless anybody has a question for me.
Thank you.
I haven't been to this site as far as my records show. I will say that because of the change to the state waters buffer law at the beginning of last year, that went into effect in Chatham County at the beginning of this year due to our ordinance update. The state waters buffer would extend on this site 25 feet landward of the what appears to be a bulkhead or seawall on the edge of the property there. So on this site, technically they would need a state waters buffer variance to do this work because of the disturbance associated with installing the slab. So any variance that you all grant here would, you know, they'd need to go through that variance process with the state, which is far more lengthy than this process. You know, if you could minimize the disturbance, you might be able to get around needing a state waters buffer variance if you, you know, if you say got rid of the slab and were willing to put maybe piers or something to hold the roof structure and then use the existing flooring somehow. You know, I don't know if that's a design that the applicants would consider, but any disturbance of the soil will trigger a state waters buffer variance on this site, unfortunately. And then let me caveat that with, based on what I'm seeing on the photos, I'd have to do a site visit to confirm that.
I have some questions for staff. Does this, I think this development has a homeowners association?
I believe that it does, yes.
And has this been presented to the homeowners association?
It has.
And no objections from any neighbors?
We did not get any objections from neighbors. I should mention that one adjacent property owner did provide us recently a letter of support from 42 Shipwatch.
And do we know how many residences out there have screen porches built very similar to this, besides the one next door?
There are a number of that are built similarly to the one next door, but what's difficult to determine is when each of them were built relative to the, you know, the current requirements and whether they were built with permits or not. So we'd have to do a full study of all the properties in the marshes to determine that.
But this is not a new ordinance as to the setback.
That's correct.
The ordinance was changed in
2016. Oh, no, our local ordinance, yeah. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, I know we changed it to 30 feet.
10
in 16 or 15, but prior to that, what was the setback?
Prior to that, for these properties, since they were already constructed, the setback would have still been 25 feet prior to the change. So all of the properties that are on the north side essentially are encroaching, and they were encroaching even when the law was created. They were built prior to the regulations.
Can I say one other thing?
Can't yeah. Just come up.
It's just, she asked a question as to how many other, I don't know how many other screen rooms there are, but there are probably more sunrooms, enclosed real rooms that have been put in behind these houses than there are screen porches. Which would be on the same plot that we're trying to change.
Does the addition change the roof line?
Pardon me?
Does the addition change your roof line?
No.
You're just extending off of it.
Okay. It will be recessed while into the roof itself. Go ahead, Rick.
Why the necessity for a slab on this instance?
We don't need you to come above.
It is possible to build it on piers, as you're talking of possibly building a deck and securing the corner post with piers. It's a much more expensive way to build it. The slab is most economical. It's completely durable. You have no bugs, no maintenance. There's no, you know, it's just impervious pretty much.
That's the problem.
Is there a problem with that that wall, that bulwark? Right now, it appears to be leaning.
The seawall?
The seawall, yes.
It has been reinforced below. It does have an angle to it, though.
All right, so my eye is not deceiving me.
No. Glasses are working.
Okay.
And who maintains that seawall?
I do. We just had it redone, reboarded, and re-supported. Most of the places out there don't even have a seawall. They just have, like next door, it's right on the marsh, and just right there. It doesn't even really have anything.
Well,
I suspect a lot of those rooms never even got permits.
I'm not making a motion, I'll just speak my opinion out loud, but we approve these types of things in this neighborhood.
line coming down. It's not going to add to sediment coming off of the roof that's already headed to the marsh. I don't see it adding any harm that the adjoining townhome is already doing. I don't know that that's causing any harm. So if they construct it properly to not cause damage during the construction, I don't think the completed product is going to cause any harm.
So, Jeff, is it your suggestion that if the flooring were not an impervious material, that there would not be a disturbance to trigger a DNR process?
Well, technically, you're still going to get added impervious surface because of the roof. So the problem is, because of their location, they're going to have to get a state waters buffer variance, which takes forever and is expensive. I'll just be blunt. If the applicant were willing to maybe do some sort of, we could call it a buffer restoration, at some, and I don't know if they have room because I haven't been to the site, but if they could direct the stormwater from the roof, the new roof, into some sort of rain garden type installation with native vegetation that's appropriate for the location, and then I could call it a buffer restoration, and we could maybe get around having them get a state waters buffer variance. But again, it looks like it's a fairly small lot, and I don't know, they would need some calculations about what kind of volumes they're going to be dealing with to appropriately size this little rain garden feature. And I mean, again, if money were no object, it might be feasible, but it just depends on how much the applicant is willing to, how complicated they want things to get on this. And the big problem here is that this law changed recently, so a lot of the variances that were granted by this body previously didn't involve a state waters buffer necessarily. So it was just up to this body, and so that made things a lot easier for previous applicants. And frankly, I think a lot of stuff has been done in this neighborhood without permits too. So that's kind of hard to, without an extensive record search, go door to door and figure out who actually permitted their structure and who just built it, with or without approval of the homeowners association.
I'm sure there are a lot, but over the years I've been on this board, a couple people here have been here longer than me.
I can think of three that we've granted, but I think that in all of those cases, the current standards would have prevented our doing so. And I really want to applaud y'all for doing the right thing and going through the process. And so please understand that we're not trying to be punitive. We're just as perplexed.
I appreciate that. Could I ask
you? It's not on us to state whether the state board approves or does not. They have to still go apply for that, and there's a different body that decides whether that's appropriate or not. That's not us.
No, I understand that. My question to Jeff was just whether there was some change in the plan that would mean they didn't necessarily have to go through the state's board.
I just like that.
Yes.
Can you come to the microphone, please?
You
have said, and it's, I'm not a contractor, that would cause more particulate to come. I mean, the water pours off of that roof now like a river going right towards this. I mean, that's how the house is built.
Right.
This is actually going to give us a little more ways to run gutters to keep it from going.
Right, right. But again, what you're looking at is basically a structure that doesn't meet the current regulation, and because you're trying to do something to the structure, now you've got to meet the current regulation. So,
I was just saying, this is going to help the
people. Right, right.
This is not going to hurt.
And I'm trying to figure out a way to get you what you want without dealing with the state, but it's going to take, what I have to have on the books is that you've done something to improve conditions here rather than just meet status quo.
Can you give us something for that outline that we
I need to meet you on site because, I can't give any guarantees without seeing the layout of the property. But essentially what the concern is, the minute you put a shovel in the ground, you trigger this state waters buffer that is designed to prevent sediment from entering state waters during construction.
That state waters buffer goes away once you finish construction, but you need to deal with it during construction. Now, the county buffer that you've applied for a variance through this body, that buffer exists all the time. And so you got sort of two different motivations here, and it's two different entities that enforce these two buffers, so it's confusing even for me, and I'm supposed to be the expert. So what we want to do in order for you to just have to deal with the county would be redirect any additional stormwater runoff caused by the impervious roof into a feature that keeps the water on your property, and that we can that serves the purpose of a buffer restoration. That way you're not impacting the buffer, you're actually improving it as part of this project. But again, I would say if you can minimize your disturbance of the soil, in other words, come up with some other plan other than a slab, then you know, you may not even need to deal with a buffer restoration because you're not technically doing construction.
So if we use decking as the floor, it would eliminate all this?
I mean, depending on your design, but possibly. I mean, the big thing is, you know, you're going to have to do grading to put in that, but you're going to have to excavate, I'm sure, to get the buffer, the pad on grade with the existing pad. So, and that right there is land disturbing activity, which triggers the state waters buffer. Whereas if you were to say use, and I'm not a builder, so I don't know exactly how you do it. I mean, maybe like auger cast footers for your pilings that would support the roof. I mean, there's other alternatives here other than a slab, I think, okay. That might... Yeah,
that would require a 2-foot deep hole rather than 6 inches, is what we're really...
But it would be what, Mike? Maybe 4, 6, maybe 8 2-foot deep holes as opposed to excavating an entire area for a slab?
Probably 6.
Right.
6
on that. So you're going to need BMPs, you know, soil erosion, best management practices like silt fence or whatever else is appropriate during all of that, you know, so, and you got limited workspace, so, you know, there's some things to consider.
Well, we certainly will consider those, but we would need this group's guidance as to how we need to do this. I don't want to get it done and then,
right.
You know, spend the money to do that.
You may want to request a continuance. I mean, give Jeff time to come out.
Okay, as soon as you can.
I'll be glad to give you my card before I leave here. But yeah, I mean, we can work with you. But again, it just depends on how much room and how complicated you want this to get. But
well, as you can see, there's not a lot of room out there.
Right.
Yeah. And the water just comes down off of that slope. I mean, the house comes a long ways this way.
Right.
And it's like a river.
What
we're trying to do is to eliminate that.
Right.
It would be a whole lot better than what
and
this
I mean, and I'll be honest with you, and I probably shouldn't say this in a public forum, but a little bit what we're doing here is a paperwork game, just to document that you're making things better, not making things worse, okay. And that way we can demonstrate that you're complying with the state regulation, so that then all you have to deal with is the county regulation.
So if we shoot a line out there, and the disturbance, if we put a pad, a concrete pad, is minimal, is that out of the question?
Well, if it's within...
The reason I'm asking, the concrete is so much better
to
put there.
Right. But so it would require you to get a state waters buffer if you're within 25 feet
so
of it.
So we can not have to do this water buffer if we do the
depending on the design,
flooring or whatever.
Right. Depending on the design, it's possible that we could...
And we have to go to the state to get this up.
Right. And it takes, I've heard, 6 months or more. I mean, this
is...
Right. I mean, it takes a long time, and I understand it can be quite expensive.
Okay.
And again, there's no guarantees whether they'll grant it to you or not.
Well, I'd say then we probably to consider going forward what you're speaking of, and if you can tell us what we need to do, we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you requesting a continuance?
Yep.
Okay.
I want to explain to him what that means.
Marcus, you want to explain them?
Yes, sir. Essentially, what that will mean, if you're requesting that this hearing be continued, we will move this item to next month's agenda, and in the interim, you'll have opportunity to meet with Jeff on site and consider your options, and then at that point, you can let us know how you want to proceed.
Be great.
All right.
When is the next meeting?
The 25th. I should have brought my state waters thing. It just didn't click.
Let's have them.
It's complicated.
Is there a motion to approve the continuance?
So moved.
Second.
Anything that's within 25 feet, I'm going to run past you before I tell them anything.
Yeah, well, anything within 25 feet. They need a state waters buffer to term. Honestly, anything in the environmental overlay district should have a letter saying either yes, you have a state.
I know, typically you do, and it just, like I say,
next item,
I didn't click on this one.
This one's weird because the development is so close that it's everything's in the buffer already.
And I think you're right, a lot of those never were permitted in the first place.
Accessory structure, and we'll hear from staff this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next item, as you mentioned, 908 Sandpiper Road, the petitioner requesting approval for a 3-foot side yard setback variance from the 5-foot requirement. The subject property is located in the Lake Park subdivision. It's zoned by one family residential and is developed with a single family residence. The lot is highlighted on this tax map at the turn of Sandpiper Road. Lot's approximately 108 feet in width and 125 feet deep. These dimensions are typical in terms of lot size along Sandpiper.
Do you have a sketch?
The affected side yard of the subject property abuts a portion of the 25-foot drainage right away, which you see here. In the aerial photography, it'll be as to the location of the subject property, the Sandpiper Road, and as I mentioned, that drainage feature that runs along the side here. The proposed location, of the accessory structure is seen in the hatched area here. The petitioner is, like as I mentioned, is requesting a 3-foot side yard setback variance. Detached accessory structures are required to be 5 feet from any property line. They would meet that on the rear, which abuts an adjacent property, but they would not meet it as proposed on the side yard, but they would be abutting that drainage feature. This is another view of the subject property where you can see the adjacency of a mature buffer within that drainage feature. Based on these factors, the staff is recommending approval of a 3-foot variance to the 5-foot side yard requirement for the subject property at 908 Sandpiper Road.
Any questions or comments?
Marcus, what is the purpose of the accessory building?
I don't think so.
Storage.
I'm not sure. So no plumbing, only electrical?
That's correct.
Any other questions?
I think Nick looked at this one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is anyone here for the petitioner? Mm-hmm. Come forward. Have you signed in, sir?
I have.
And please state your name.
Charles Taylor.
Mr. Taylor, will you raise your right hand? Will you swear the testimony you'll present will be the truth?
Okay.
Anything to add?
Oh, no, just that's my house. We have one car garage, and it is packed to the gill. We're trying to put some storage in the back, right behind that on that side. And with the drain field, you know, we're not on sewers, we're on septic, and the drain field kind of snakes all through the backyard. And to get enough easement from the drain field, we had to encroach on that property line. So. That's all.
Any questions from Mr. Taylor?
I have one. There's a note on our sketch, building to be replaced by shop. And that's on there twice.
There's in the the right back corner, there are two buildings, temporary wood structures, and after the storage building is built, then we're going to build, we've already got an application in for a permit for those to take those down and put an actual workshop in there, because I have like 100 hobbies that I can't do because I'm overwhelmed. But that's a separate issue than this over here.
Yeah, okay. I just am not sure how many accessory buildings you can have on a lot.
According to
the only limit is a maximum of 40% building coverage on the property. There's really no limit to the number of separate structures you can have.
Because I confirmed that with Mr. Seabat before I applied.
And it appears that there's a pretty good vegetative buffer between where your building's going to be and the backyard of your neighbor across the drainage ditch.
Yes, ma'am.
So no objections.
She's actually one of my customers, so she'll take me to see it.
Any other questions or comments with the petitioner? Thank you. Does anyone here from the public speak on this matter? Hearing none, will we entertain a motion?
I move that we approve.
Second.
In review of the site and the proposed encroachment, it does not appear that any neighboring properties or common areas would be impacted by the requested setback variance. This property does not abut a residential lot on the rear. It abuts common area, and with the vegetation that's there, it's unlikely to be a detriment to any adjoining property owners. Based on those findings, staff is recommending approval of the 7-foot side yard setback, rear yard setback variance.
Any questions for staff? Thank you. Is anyone here for the petitioner? Have you signed in?
Yes.
All right, please state your name.
Jerry Rankin.
Mr. Rankin, do you swear the testimony you're presenting to be the truth?
Yes.
Do you have anything to add?
I'm the owner, and just there's not going to be any slabs. So, just going to replace this deck with some 3/4-inch plywood, and then they're going to seal it up to keep the gnats out from underneath. It's going to be a screened-in porch, is what we're requesting, with easy breeze windows on the inside, so keep the pollen out when pollen season's here. And basically, it's to extend on the, as you're looking at the left, to basically to square off the deck. And I have gone through the architectural review committee at the landings. They've recommended approval. They even said they approved it because it will fix a faulty design. So anyway, just trying to square that off and then enclose it.
Any questions or comments? Just now? Thank you. Does anyone here from the public to speak on this matter? I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the staff recommendation.
And I second. Properly moved and second. We'll vote this time.
Something from here when it goes to get that on it.
If the board would indulge Mr. Kirkland a few minutes, I think he wanted to give you an update on some information that he's trying to share.
Muddy waters.
Yeah, right.
Should we close out this meeting, or do you want to
adjourn?
We'll adjourn this time.